Okay, we will transition straight now into our Vents Day segment. This is a premise is simple. We plop two topics on the table for your consideration and comment. We clear the room of guests and open the phone lines and email box. This week, let's talk about how the fear of violence changes us, if at all, and our other topic, wolves and their status, protected or not. How do you take part in Vents Day? Well, you give us a phone call at 800-838-3760, or you send an email to jx@jeffnet.org. The discussion of violence seemed natural when we set the topic up 5 days ago, and that was just a day after the mass murder by truck in France. And since that time, we have seen the attempted coup in Turkey and the killing of police in Baton Rouge. Here's Exchange producer Emily Curitan with the setup on the survey.
How does fear of random violence affect your behavior? What do you buy and where you go? Debbie in Talent says, not at all. It's called random because it's unpredictable. So what would be the point of letting it affect one's behavior? Can you imagine being ruled by the fear of anything unpredictable, like earthquakes or lightning? You'd be paralyzed, and violent nut jobs would pose the same threat. So what's the point of letting the improbable affect how one lives one's life? That's from Debbie and Talent. Alice in Gaski, California, was of a different mind. She wrote to us on the survey posted on Facebook and at jeffexchange.org. Alice in Gaski wrote, fear should make you more careful in the way you live. Be aware of your surroundings and have plans for emergencies. We want to hear from you now. Do you think the possibility of gun violence and terrorism changes the way you live your daily life? Do you own a gun for self-protection? Are there places you wanted to travel that you've marked off your list in response to an attack? And are there places you avoid in your own home because you know people there will or won't have firearms? How does it change your habits, if at all? And Jeff, let's hear more about those wolves.
The wolf issue is never far from the headlines as gray wolves continue to expand their territory in Oregon decades after they were wiped out in the state. The protection of wolves within the state differs east and west, with some endangered species protection under both state and federal law. The state wants to delist the wolf. Eastern Oregon's Congress member wants to remove federal protection as well. So what's your thinking? Majestic animals should be allowed to take back its place in the food chain, or dangerous predator needs to be closely monitored and regulated? Has your thinking changed on wolves? I mean, maybe you were in awe of OR7 and the creation of OR7's new pack in the Cascades and hoped he'd come for the deer denuding your garden, but now you're worried about livestock losses. Let's hear what might have changed in your opinion about deer. That is one of our topics. The other topic is violence and how it might have changed your thinking and your behavior. 800-838-3760 to get into the conversation by phone, and by email it's jx@jeffnet.org.
I think OR7 is the only endangered species that I follow on Twitter, Jeff. Right?
Who puts up OR7?
I think it's at that point it was the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service or Fish and Game. I couldn't be quoted accurately, but I know he's in my feed, and from time to time we get updates. It was quite a bunch of national attention, actually, when that wolf crossed into California several years ago, because people were saying it was the first wolf in California in 100-odd years or something like that. So school children were coming up with names, and I guess wildlife managers' Twitter feeds.
I was getting up to speed with where California stands, because, of course, there is at least one wolf living in California now at a Shasta Pack, as it's been identified. So California is still working toward its own wolf protection plans, while Oregon works on wolf protection plans, while the federal government considers what it wants to do with wolf protection. And we'll get some comments from Greg Walden and company in here. We want to know what you think. What is the proper approach to wolf protection in Oregon and California and anywhere for that matter? And the big issue today on the table on this Vents Day, of course, is violence and how it changes your world when you see things like what's been going on in the news of late. Barely a day goes by when something doesn't happen horrible to somebody somewhere in the world. 800-838-3760 to get into Vents Day by phone, by email. It's jx@jeffnet.org. Back on the Jefferson Exchange on Vents Day with your phone calls and emails in a minute 25.
It's Vents Day on the Jefferson Exchange. I'm Emily Curitan, here with Jeffrey Riley. The premise is pretty simple. We pick the topics, you bring your views about them. We all listen, and maybe understand each other's perspectives a little more deeply. This week we're discussing the power of fear to change our daily behaviors and wolves, as endangered species, that is. Join us, 800-838-3760, or by email at jx@jeffnet.org. So, Jeff, why are we talking about wolves today anyway?
Well, because there's been the whole discussion about wolf protection. It certainly differs in different parts of Oregon. Eastern Oregon, there is less protection for wolves than there is in the western part of Oregon. That's within state law. There is the federal endangered species protection for gray wolves as well, which Congressman Walden, among others, proposes reducing.
Right. I've got Washington Representatives Dan Newhouse, Kathy McMorris-Rogers, and Oregon Congressman Greg Walden supported an amendment in the U.S. House Appropriations Bill to take wolves off of the endangered species list. It's Vents Day, so of course now we want to know what you think about it. The other topic on the table and the topic of our online survey this week: how does fear of random violence affect your behavior, what you buy, where you go, and how you get there? Katha in Reading said, "It has totally changed my life moving to Reading. I'm used to walking everywhere for fun, but after moving to this town, I only go places in the truck. I don't carry a purse. I wear men's pants for the deep pockets, and I keep pepper spray in my hand. This is a woman's life in Reading now." Katha in Reading shared that on Facebook. Sharon in Brookings, on a different side of the coin, said, "I'm not afraid of random violence directly affecting me, so I just go about my life just the way I always have."
So how do you go about your life in the wake of extremely violent acts? Did the shootings in Roseburg at Umpqua Community College, at Thurston High School more than 15 years ago in Clackamas County, did they change your habits? Do you have a good idea of who is mentally unstable or potentially violent in your own community? The idea that gun store owners might best know that kind of thing was floated this week by Senator Ron Wyden. He was speaking in Medford with local public health officials on Tuesday. Wyden wants to lift a ban that prevents the Centers for Disease Control from conducting research into gun violence. He was in Eugene on Saturday, and here he is speaking about the ban on federal research of gun violence on Tuesday in Medford.
"I think this ban is anti-science, ignorance glorifying, common sense defying policy. It just doesn't add up."
So Senator Wyden thinks the federal government ought to be able to research gun violence. Again, the CDC has been banned from doing so since 1996. What do you think? 800-838-3760, by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org.
Let's take a call, Jeff. How about Paul in Grants Pass?
Hi, Paul. Welcome to The Exchange on Vents Day.
"Good morning. I got to go back to Franklin Roosevelt. We have nothing to fear but fear itself. The long and the short of it is that fear is a natural part of our psychological makeup. It's there for a reason. However, it is also the easiest way for us to manipulate ourselves or to be manipulated by others. I mentioned, I think the last time I called, that we have the ability to control fear and to control fear of the other. And until we control that fear, in particular fear of the other, we stand no chance of progressing as a society."
And the other defined fairly broadly, I suspect, in terms of just, you know, the person who is what I am not, and I get to define what that is.
Sure. I sit down at lunch with all kinds of strangers, and we can only do that because we control fear of the other.
Hey, Paul, you mentioned that fear is used to manipulate people. How do you feel manipulated by fear?
Well, I recognize the attempts to manipulate. The whole idea of the mass shooting situation is one of these situations where, oh my gosh, I should feel more insecure. No, I shouldn't feel more insecure. I could be hit by a truck when I walk out the door. Now, of course, that happened recently too, didn't it? The bottom line is that, yes, bad things can happen in the universe, but the most reasonable way of approaching it is to be calm, is to say, yes, something will happen, something may happen, to borrow from the Buddhists, prepare prudently and move on with your life, live your life. If you're going to be paralyzed by fear, if you're going to allow yourself to be manipulated by fear, then people are going to cause you to do things like Our Lady in Northern California, who no longer chooses to dress as she feels appropriate for herself to dress. She can no longer express herself. Now she's a prisoner of that fear that she feels.
All right, Paul, thank you for that. Paul and Grants Pass calling for reason on this Fence Day. We want to hear from you as well. Does fear of violence change where you go, what you buy, how you dress, as it does for Katha and Redding? Dan and Redding had this to say. He said, while I would not classify it as fear, more as trouble, crime has hurt small downtown businesses that we used to frequent. After weighing the cost of damage to our car windows, we prefer businesses with secure parking. We've also removed some Middle Eastern countries from our travel bucket list. That comes from Dan in Redding.
Marco in Ashland writes, I avoid police more conscientiously. James in Northern California had a very different take. He says, this makes me appreciate our law enforcement and military even more. Stop and think how it would be without their protection and intervention.
I want to go to another call, Jeff. How about John in Vanita? John, you're on the air.
Good morning. I would like to make a comment about the violence thing.
Sure.
And I feel that violence is a personal thing. And that, in other words, I grew up from day one in an extremely violent household. And I was in my middle 40s before I understood that that violence is your own personal thing. And you have to control it. And you have the ability to control it. And, you know, and so the people who do the mass shootings and drive the trucks into people and stuff like that, that's their own personal thing. It's a very personal thing. It has nothing to do with politics. It has nothing to do with religion. It's a personal thing.
So you say you were in your 40s before you realized, I mean, did you also realize at that point in your life that violence was not something people have to do to one another? I mean, did it seem like it was a natural response before that point?
Oh, yes, yes. Violence, like I say, I grew up in an extremely violent household. I was beat immensely a lot. And, you know, we killed animals on the farm. We went hunting and killed. There was nothing to it. It was just part of life. But then when I got away from that, from my family and out into the real world, I realized that, you know, it took me a while, but I realized that everybody was afraid of me just because I could be extremely violent for no cause, you know, because it was deep within me.
All right, John, I appreciate the changes you've made, and I appreciate you sharing the story with us here on Vence Day. Take it easy.
Interesting perspective. The other topic on the table for this Vence Day is wolves in Oregon and across the West. The Oregon Wolf Plan is currently up for review, and environmental groups are challenging the state of Oregon's recent decision to delist the gray wolf in this state. Meanwhile, on the federal front, a plan to effectively remove the gray wolf from the federal endangered species list has been successfully added to a larger U.S. House appropriation bill. One of the pushers behind that move is Oregon Congressman Greg Walden. Walden says the measure would streamline wolf management in Oregon. Here he is talking about that.
We have this divided management strategy in the federal government where part of the state is still listed, the wolves are still listed, part of the state they're not. We need to get to a single management strategy where we have local control under the Oregon State Plan.
That was U.S. Congressman Greg Walden of Oregon talking about his ideas for delisting the gray wolf as a federal endangered species. We want to hear your ideas this Vence Day. Phone number is 800-838-3760 or drop us a note at jx@jeffnet.org.
The Oregon Wolf Plan is up for review this year, and environmental groups, as you mentioned, are currently challenging the state's decision to delist. Oregon officials estimate there were at least 110 gray wolves in the state at the end of 2015. Livestock depredations continue to be a contentious issue, and there was one recently in the Grizzly Peak area not far from Ashland, so that brought it closer to the Rogue Valley than in decades. Despite a nearly 40% increase in wolf population from 2014 to 2015, the number of livestock killed across the state of Oregon decreased.
Interesting, Jeff. This is my first year filling out a tax return in Oregon, and I noticed a curious thing, which is that there's a box to check if you've had livestock lost to wolves in the state of Oregon during the last fiscal year. I personally didn't get to check that box. If you did, we'd love to hear from you here.
Interesting. Yes, that's something to check on your income tax return. So has it happened to you? Have you had encounters with wolves? If you had an encounter with a wolf, and this is somewhat comparable to the stories you get from people who've seen mountain lions upon occasion. Mm-hmm. Some people are really, really impressed. Oh, my goodness, what a beautiful, majestic creature. Some people they get the daylight scared out of them. Oh, my God, I hope I never see that again. If I do, I hope I have a gun.
Or some people wake up to total carnage in their farmyards. And that's another range of emotions. Sort of a clumsy segue here, but our other topic, of course, is violence against people. We have a survey online at jeffexchange.org and also on our Facebook page to ask people how fear of terrorism and of gun violence, of random acts of violence, may have affected their daily behaviors. We want to know if you're afraid to travel to certain countries where you previously planned to visit. We heard that a few times on this week's survey from Ayala in Ashland. She wrote, "It definitely makes me reconsider international travel plans, which airline, where, etc. Right now I'm thinking El Al to Israel is the safest bet." Andrew in Ashland wrote, "He has no desire to travel to the Middle East. Otherwise for him, it's life as usual."
Jim in Eureka writes, "I haven't slowed down. I feel that, as the name implies, randomness prevails." So, I mean, do you feel like a lot of people feel, apparently, that, lightning could strike me? Or, as Paul said, I could get hit by a truck, which I think was one of those things that you pull out of the back of your mind and then realize, oh, wait, that did happen last week in France. Lots of people got hit by a truck. But the fact is that lots of things can happen to you in daily life. Do you fear violence more than some of the other things that can happen to you? 800-838-3760 to join us by phone. By email, it's jx@jeffnet.org. Email from Joe in Talent. Joe writes, "I don't really let gun violence rule my life. It's always been this dark shadow out there. I doubt it's more common than before, just reported more. White on white, black on black, black, blue and white on each other. It's always been there. I suspect we're seeing more of it thanks to the rise of social media. The most significant way it touched my life was having to talk with my children of color about it in a different way than my white kids, and that can be a soul-crushing conversation. I have 8 kids, and it's difficult for a parent to know that some of them will always be treated with less respect and less compassion and be more prone to gun violence, even being raised in the same home."
Wow, that's interesting, Joe and Talent. Thanks for sharing those thoughts via jx@jeffnet.org. Certainly a racial component in the acts of violence we're discussing in the United States a lot of the time, and then internationally as well. We have a comment here from Eric and Gasky. He says, "If one lets current events curtail one's activities, then, quote, they, unquote, win." So this idea of them or the other. "Many wars are won without any shots being fired. In other words, your mind is a very, very powerful tool. Learn to use it to its fullest potential." That from Eric and Gasky.
Let's take some more calls here. Let's go to Dennis and Eugene. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vince Day. Violence and wolf management are topics.
Yeah, say, violence, everybody's scared right now because they don't feel like they have control over anything. And if you read I always feel like the American public is not historically educated. But if you look through the history of man, that's always been the case. Right now, if you watched the television, you would be scared to death if you were someone who is isolated or someone who is emotionally easily disrupted. If you were someone who actually was emotionally ill and possibly taking some kind of medication to help you calm yourself or steady yourself. And I actually believe that the fear that people are feeling is being created to a great extent by the media. I think that the media has done this fear thing 24 hours a day, every day, for years, and the chickens are coming home to roost. The two men that just recently killed the policeman, they were both soldiers trained by our government to kill people. They were excellent shots. they were obviously emotionally disturbed. And one of the things that the military teaches their people, you learn it in boot camp, is to be angry, really angry. And I was just speaking with a veteran from Afghanistan and Iraq recently, and he was telling me about how much racism there is in the Army and in the Marine Corps and how segregated it is. And, you know, that same thing was going on when I was a vet in the Vietnam War. So there's a lot of bad stuff going on, but it isn't really anything different than what we've always experienced in America. If you would have been living on the frontier in the 1850s or 1860s, you would have had a rifle ready to use at any moment, fearing for your life that animals or marauders or Native Americans who didn't like white people were going to come and do you in. And you would probably have shot anybody that would have came around that you didn't know.
All
so
right.
This is the way we are. This is the human experience. And people should quit being fearful, because one thing for sure, we all are going to die eventually.
All right. So interesting thoughts. Good to hear from you again, Dennis.
Right. Ending on a fatalistic note, we are all going to die, Jeff. The question is, how do we live our lives? That's what we have on the table today. Does the news of violence in France, in Istanbul, here in Southern Oregon, Umpqua Community College, still less than a year behind us, how does that change your life? We are coming to the end of this fence, Dave. I think we have time for one more call from Jake in Eureka.
Hi, Jake.
I just like to say I think it's time to bring back the ban on assault weapons that we had in this country in the 1990s. Gun violence was reduced significantly. We banned assault weapons in the 90s. And now we have just a proliferation of assault weapons, high-capacity clips, and these mass shootings. And it's almost a regular thing now in this country that we have mass shootings. That is not the way it was a couple decades ago. Things have changed, and it's the fact that these guns have proliferated. That's what's taking place right now.
All right, Jake, thanks for your thoughts. I want to thank all of you for your thoughts on this Vence Day segment. Violence, not an easy particular subject to talk about in particular, and I noticed that we've got a fair number of responses to our survey.
Yeah, maybe next week we'll do more cute animals or something, Jeff.
We could probably stand, and people are probably wondering, too, when we're going to talk about the conventions. I think if we wait till both conventions are over, and then we can maybe have a Vence Day to wrap it all up after that.
Right. Well, we heard from a lot of folks this Vence Day, both on the air and via our survey available at jeffexchange.org and on our Facebook page. Also heard some bites from U.S. Congressman Greg Walden talking about wolves and U.S. Senator Ron Wyden talking about the need for federally funded gun violence research. So a full Vence Day here on the Exchange.
Indeed.